Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It's one we all know very well, but I hope I can shed some more light on it. Verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." All right, has anybody been sensing in your life some spiritual warfare? Yeah, me neither. It seems to be going around. And I wanna actually do a whole message on spiritual warfare. And here's what we're gonna do is we're gonna just go through these three verses, and we're gonna begin to expose them and go a little deeper into the meaning behind the content of these passages. But while doing that, I want to just make something known, is that typically we've always relegated spiritual warfare to prayer. And although that, you know, I love what Bill Johnson, he just recently gave a message on prayer in spiritual warfare. And he said, if you're not praying, you're not doing anything. You know, if you're going through something right now, and if you have yet to begin to pray, you are not doing anything. And, or he says, until we pray, we have done nothing. You know, and so what I want is to encourage us in first is blanketed across the board that the first level of engagement in spiritual warfare is to engage in the spiritual realm through prayer and intercession. But this morning, I want to actually talk about spiritual warfare from a bit of a different direction because there's a lot more than intercession. And gosh, through everything we've been through over the past few weeks, I don't know if I'd be alive right now if it wasn't for my intercessors. You know, the people that will rumble and pray and cry out and intercede, go through the hours of the night lifting up our family. And, you know, spiritual warfare begins in intercession. But I want to talk about specifically these verses are not just talking about prayer. They're actually talking about behavior in the midst of spiritual warfare. And the key to spiritual warfare is to identify what we are actually warring against. Or let me say that again. The key to spiritual warfare is understanding what we are warring for. Many believers find themselves powerless in spiritual battles because they are fighting the wrong battle. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Peter says that he's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and yet many believers are just battling over for the end of their inconvenience. Well, let's talk about it, right? Spiritual warfare is like, man, my car broke down, you know, this other bill came up, and I got in an argument with my spouse, and man, this week there's been so much spiritual warfare. And the enemy has come to like steal, kill, and destroy. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we're like, I just want it to be done. Right? What an inconvenient week. The warfare has been so hard. And all we want is my car to be fixed, the bills to be fine, and my wife and I to be okay. That to me is the precipice of winning this battle. That's what the winning the battle looks like. But I want to present to you that you and the devil have very different agendas in this battle. You are fighting a war, but you showed up on different battlefields. And a lot of believers are finding themselves powerless because they're praying for things that the devil's not fighting for. The devil wants to remove every believer from the equation of the will of God, to entirely thwart the plans of God on the earth by removing you from the equation. And most of us just want to be over or stop being bothered by the annoying spiritual warfare stuff that we're going through. We want to move forward without resistance, but he's actually warring over the plans and purposes of God over the ends of the earth. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." You know, what's clearly is presented is that there's a difference about warring in the spirit and warring in the flesh. And we've usually just relegated our understanding to this passage. You know, we've usually just oversimplified it and said this verse just means we do not do physical things to win spiritual battles. That's what we've usually just said. Oh man, we just got to take this one up in prayer. I want to take it a little bit deeper than that. Because we do not war according to the flesh, not just by the flesh, but we do not even engage our methodology, our philosophy, and our idea of the war we are engaging by any definition of our fleshly experience. And that word stronghold in verse 4 says spiritually, it could be translated as spiritually rebellious castles. What I mean by that, and by what that translation means, is that in the spiritual realm, everything that we are experiencing in the spiritual realm, there is a fortress and a command center of spiritual activity that is causing our experience in the natural realm. That there is a spiritual reality, there is a war plan, there is a fortress of demonic activity that is calculating an effort to thwart the plans of God and to win an eternal battle against God himself. Now, listen, we understand how that story ends, right? We understand that all authority belongs, that he makes his enemy a footstool under his feet. We understand that the enemy is powerless, but there is a demonic stronghold behind everything that we're experiencing in the natural that is orchestrating a plan of attack against the people of God. And this is why many of us will be going, "Are you going through it? I'm going through it. What the heck's going on?" Why? Because the enemy is trying to remove you from the equation because you're the only thing standing in his way. And what we have to understand is that we may feel warfare in the natural, but the battlefield is very much the spiritual. And we do not war according to the flesh means two things. We are not fighting for the flesh, and we are not fighting with the flesh. Meaning that we are not fighting for our belongings and our materials. We are not fighting for our bank accounts. We're not fighting for our friendships. We are not fighting for our buildings and our lands and our rights and all that. We are fighting for a kingdom that must prevail. We are fighting for a gospel that must become bright, loud, and clear in a time of darkness. We are fighting for a spiritual reality, and therefore, since we're fighting for a spiritual reality, then we engage it with a spiritual reality. And understanding that our decisions that we make, the prayers that we pray have very spiritual implications on every decision and every way that we move forward. That there is a spiritual realm that is far more real than the realm that I am experiencing in this natural way. Does this make sense? So he says, we do not war according to the flesh. We are identifying that we are not warring for the flesh or by the flesh. We often lack spiritual authority because we're fighting for things, but the devil is fighting for your soul. The devil has not come to steal, kill, and destroy your bank account and your friendships. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy so that you play no part in robbing hell of wanted souls. To get you to fully disengage your calling and preserve your earthly experience. Does that make sense? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so there's got to come an alignment with the church to what God is doing and saying, and they're casting down devils, and they're you know, blowing shofars and they're, you know, stomping around and praying their warfare prayers, but they showed up. And so the beginning of authority in warfare is to identify what we're actually warring for, and that is for the kingdom of heaven to prevail upon the earth, for the gospel of Jesus Christ to shape the narrative of society, and for unbelievers to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to spend eternity with him in heaven. This is the mandate of heaven for you and I. Don't ever get it confused with anything else. And the enemy is not warring for your convenience. He is warring for souls to occupy hell. Are we on the same page? So then it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It says casting down arguments. That word arguments means this in the Greek and the Aramaic. It means bottom line reasoning, or reasoning that reflects someone's values. Reaching a personal opinion by determining what we find valuable. Opinions that come out of personal reckoning. The word arguments represents an opinion in you that has been shaped, experiences, and ideas and imaginations that we have had or been in. The weapon of warfare is to take man's opinion and yank it down to its proper location. Let me go a little further. Because over the course of time, these rebellious castles, demonic strongholds, center of command, have been weaving and orchestrating narratives of demonic origin into our culture and society that's been shaping generations and discipling the mind of what is valuable and what is not valuable. And when somebody from a personal reckoning determines something is valuable and elevates it over the value and the significance of kingdom things, it redistributes a value system that begins to become an argument against the will of God on the earth. It says spiritual warfare is us identifying these high and lofty arguments of personal opinion and yanking them down and putting them where they belong, because there's no opinion that should be elevated over the will and the purpose of the kingdom on the earth. The gospel is greater than your opinions. And this is really important, because there's a lot of, right now, I feel like 2020 is a whole ton of opinions that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God and have been high and lofty, and people become indoctrinated by everyone's ideas and all their documentaries and all their social media stuff. And now we're actually operating out of elevated opinion instead of alignment to what God says, and it's remaining simply focused on the will and the purpose of heaven. Warfare looks like inside of me going, I will not host an argument that raises itself against the opinions of God. This looks like waging war, saying, I will let no demonic ideologies occupy my imagination. Does this make sense? This is really important right now. Our powerful weapon of warfare against the enemy looks like waging war at the arguments inside of my own imagination that has caused me to distance myself from a greater spiritual reality. As long as we host opinions that blatantly disregard faith, we will live a life that is hardened to the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring transformation to the world around me. If I have an opinion that is hostile towards my Christian faith, I will become immobile for the gospel's sake. Because I will host an argument every time the Holy Spirit's trying to lead me into a moment to further his kingdom. But what about opinion? And what about thought? And what about everyone thinking this? And what about that? Right now, we have to understand there's not a spiritual battle. I'm gonna say something that could rub somebody the wrong way. The spiritual battle is not who the man in office is, but how far the kingdom can go. If we begin to create arguments that cause us to lose our witness for the purpose of the kingdom, then we are allowing opinions to elevate themselves over our Christian faith. And we have now become not a weapon in the hand of God, but a weapon in the hand of the enemy, where he's using the church against itself, the accuser of the brethren. And we have now become an echo to the accusations of hell because we have allowed an elevated opinion to occupy the highest places of exaltation in our imagination. If we engage politics in a way that does not preserve our kingdom authority in this hour, we will become immobile and the spiritual warfare is working. We okay? The enemy would love right now to get Christians to fight over opinionated, loaded politics, all the while forgetting to lose souls. To win souls. This is what the enemy would love. Can we get them wrapped up in all of these arguments about things that are down the line of eternal impact? Can we get them wrapped up in all this stuff and get them to fight and disagree and break agreement so their prayer life is disengaged, their hearts are disengaged, and they are forgetting to win souls? This is spiritual warfare. And in our weapon that is powerful is our ability to yank these things down and to remind our souls of who God's called us to be. Secondly, it says this, and pulling down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That word knowledge in the Greek is logismos. It means functional working knowledge gleaned from firsthand personal experience connecting theory to application. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, and pulling down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? It's not just the idea and the thought of God. It is the knowledge that's based off of firsthand experience. It's a measurable experience someone has. I have a knowledge of something because I have a resume that has been there, done that, and I've experienced. I have measurable experience about who God is because of what I have experienced. And there is a high thing that's trying to exalt itself against people's ability to experience God right now. Now, sorry, Siri, 1 second. The world is winning the exaltation battle because the church has robbed the world of its firsthand experience with the nature of God. Say that one again. The world is winning the exaltation battle because the church has robbed the world of its firsthand experience with the nature of God. Politics right now is bigger than God. Is bigger than God. Fear is bigger than God. The media is bigger than God because the world does not know God, and they do not know God because no one is demonstrating God to them. No one has a firsthand experience going, oh, that's God. Everyone wants to go BLM, anti-BLM. No one is showing up on the streets and hugging somebody and loving them and restoring them back to life. Everyone goes, don't burn down my cities. But no one is showing up saying, who needs to be healed right now? God loves you even despite what you're doing. Put the brick down and let me pray for that knee right now. No one's showing up, so the world is running rampant and their ideologies are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. And the church is just sitting there going, man, I hope this ends soon. But no one's demonstrating him, so there's a deficit of the knowledge of God in America because there's a deficit of demonstration. And then we go on the offense and we wage the war. Not war against you, you wage the war on hell. Is that all right? You guys stand with me.